take your mask. John 3:16, right? Good to go. You're ready. Everywhere you go, the grocery store, right? I mean, there it is, black and white. So kids, if you're listening from home, get your mask. What's that?
Repent.
Yeah, there you go. Repent. Repent and leave the gospel, Mark chapter 1, or John 3:16, or, you know, it's just a way, a possibility. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Lord, thank you for the chance to laugh. Thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to be in this place today. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would help us to be able to fulfill what it is you're asking us to do, and that above all, we would love you more than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen. I read an interesting statistic yesterday that 25% of churches in North America won't survive COVID. 25%. Yep, it won't be an instantaneous death, but it'll be a long, slow decline as people have gotten out of the habit of coming to church and they've started to ask themselves the question, well, what did I really get out of that anyways, besides having to get out of bed early on Sunday? And, you know, things are changing and shifting. And I wanted to talk today a little bit about death and life. Death and life in church, death and life in our own spiritual lives. You know, the death of churches is really due to an inward focus. When we become so inwardly focused that we fail to look outside and look through the stained glass windows and focus our attention where the Lord has called it to be, then we begin to die. That focus translates over into our personal lives as individuals, as followers of Jesus Christ. It will then translate into the way that we relate to one another in our own church, the way that we relate to one another in the community, and it will translate into not only our personal finances, but also our church's finances. And when everything gets so internally focused and personally focused, that's the start of the death spiral. New England is full of little white churches on greens that have become art galleries or are just empty, just sitting there, waiting for a church plant. You know, some indicators of churches that die, an unwillingness to change is number one, is top. If we are so entrenched in the way that we have done things, we are probably not going to be flexible enough to be able to survive what's coming and what the Lord is asking us to do. Another indicator of churches that die is entrenched leadership, where 10% of the people are doing 9% of the work. If the work of the church is not owned by the people of the church, it's really the work of those 10% people. And they are either going to, statistically speaking, they are either going to burn out and come apart at the seams, or they're going to love what they're doing so much that they will never, ever, ever, ever give it up. And both of those things happen in churches in leadership. This inward focus can be seen in programs of the church and in spending. If we look at the programs of a church just sort of from the outside, which ones are focused outward and which ones are focused inward, that's a really good way to look at it. As far as spending is concerned, looking at how a church allocates the financial resources entrusted to it by the Lord, how do we steward that out into the community? If 98% of that is focused on inward survival, then the church is dying, and it will die completely eventually. And then another indicator is departure from Holy Scripture to accommodate the culture. There are so many churches that have abandoned portions of Holy Scripture in an effort to become broader because they want to survive, and they figure if they become broader, they will welcome more people. But I've seen it firsthand. The church collapses. It absolutely comes apart. I was in a church one time that went that route, and they went from having 200 people on a Sunday to 30 over the course of a year when they made that decision. even though it was a majority of the people that voted to go that way. It was just, it was amazing. And it shows that God is not going to bless something that is not blessed in Holy Scripture. So if this sounds really dire, I'm not trying to come down on us. I'm trying to say, actually an encouragement, that Brownsville Community Church has done a pretty good job of being flexible. You know, 7 years ago, about that, I walked through the back doors of the church just to come and visit and see what was happening in our own church community, our own town where we sort of lived and where I grew up. And one thing led to another, and here we are. But, you know, the church leadership was willing to change. It was willing to be flexible. It was willing to do these things. We started some new opportunities and ways of reaching out into the community, and we were willing to let go of some things that we needed to let go of. And those are all signs of hope, of health, of a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset, if I was in a school system talking about this, okay? And so those are really good things. And I want to encourage us and say, don't give up. Don't become complacent on all of these things. Don't become entrenched in the way that things are happening now and accept this as the status quo. It's not that we change for a period of 6 or 7 months and then all of a sudden we can just settle into that and be comfortable. The Holy Spirit of God is always moving, always calling, always drawing, and things are changing and moving quickly now in this time where society and culture has been changed. The way that we worship has been changed. You know, online forms and expressions of worship are here to stay. It's not going away. And, you know, certainly there are challenges to it, and there are weaknesses to it, such as not being in the presence of other believers physically in a building on a Sunday morning, what have you. But it's here, and we need to embrace how the Lord is moving and how he is working. And it's important for us to be flexible. So things that are make churches healthy. Any healthy church serves its community first, right? That focus is outward. Is our church serving the community around it? Yes, in some ways we are. Are there aspects of our community that have no point of contact with our church? Absolutely there are. There are definitely parts of this town, this community, that have no direct relation to us other than driving by. Our church can start to lose its growth and momentum when its members start to form holy huddles where we'll only associate with certain people in the church, but not other people in the church. That can be something that's really, really hard to overcome because there's certain people that we like and certain people that maybe we let Jesus like, you know? But the Lord wants us to have unity and not develop these little huddles. And when that happens, it's tough for us to move together in the direction that the Spirit is calling us. And so, in addition to that, when our ministries become isolated within our church rather than directed outside the walls, and they involve the same people all the same times inside rather than socializing and spending time with other people in the church, and God forbid, other people that are outside of the church, that was facetious, you know, bringing other people that aren't connected to the church into our close inner circles, that's a sign that things need to change. I mentioned if we're spending more than 98% on an inward focus, that's a death knell. We really ought to be at a minimum 5 to 10% of our actual operating budget focused on mission, at least a tithe, if not more, heading in that direction. Another thing that would be really good for health is, are we willing to do whatever is necessary to take an honest look at the sacred cows of worship? Like, what are the things that we've done for years and years and years that make up in our minds what our identity is, but maybe these things have been slowly dying for a while and we need to let them go? You know, I don't have any one particular thing in mind. I'm not trying to lead you on to something. I'm trying to offer the opportunity for us to think about this openly. You know, what needs to change? What needs to go? What needs to change in our own personal lives that are sacred cows, in our life as a church family, that we might be better able to follow the Lord if we let go of things? Having that willingness to openness and change to lay before the Lord everything that makes us who we are as a Christian, and who makes us who we are as a church, and say, we're trying to follow you, but if there's anything that we need to let go of, or anything that we need to change, or anything that we need to add and develop, Lord, have your will and your way in us. We don't want to do it on our own, trying to figure it out on our own. We want to go where the Holy Spirit is calling us and drawing us. So the church as an institution, okay, you get the idea of getting at it, the institutional church is dying and is going to die. Look at all the main lines, all the mainline denominations, every single one of them is in decline or has died or has split off into some other group that is trying to follow the Lord in a different way. Not one of them has remained the same and consistent from the heyday of like the 1950s, early 60s in the mainlines. They've all gone the way of the dinosaur in that respect. The church, as the living and vibrant face of Jesus Christ, however, in the world, is being called out from the dying and institutionalized church. It's changing. It's changing all around us. Got to look and see what's happening. You know, the true church has thrived through everything that has come at it in the last 2,000 years. It doesn't matter what it was. You know, you think of the hymn, Faith of Our Fathers Through Persecution, Fire, and Sword. It doesn't matter. The gospel has gone on, and the church has thrived, and it continues to thrive. It's a living organism that has its foundation and draws its life from a vibrant and active relationship with Jesus Christ and no place else. So I've talked a little bit about what some of the deaths of churches are. So now how about some of the life stuff, okay? So the living and growing church will have an outward focus, realizing that the hope of the world is the local church. The hope of the world is Jesus Christ as carried to them by the local church, to further define that statement. So the focus is going to be seen in its programs, in its missions, in its finances. We will be out there in the community, outside of our doors, as individuals in our circles of travel, as well as in our programs and our ministries of the church focused on the community. We're going to make an effort to engage people outside our own sort of holy huddle of church friends that we like, and leave room for the Lord to lead people into our circles. 98% of our finances needs to not be focused on us only, right? That statistic. We need to focus more of our finances outside. The living and growing church will be looking at the first century church as a model for growth and effectiveness, and it values repentance, discipleship, and outreach. These are some of the marks of the early church. An authentic faith based on life transformed by Jesus Christ. It's that transformation, that metanoia. It's a transformation that propels us inward through repentance and prayer, right? Upward through study and through worship, and outward, reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's deepening faith, it's engaging worship, and it's sharing with others. The living and growing church will be grounded on Holy Scripture and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It will be willing to speak truth and to take risks as the Lord calls us forward. Not afraid to change, not afraid to let go of things, not afraid to lay before the Lord everything that we think makes us a church, and allow God to have reign in our hearts to direct the way we do things. To not hold on to things so tightly that we can't allow the Lord to change direction, especially if it's uncomfortable for us. I've noticed in my own life, as much as I really hate it, when something makes me uncomfortable and I'm like, I have to pay attention to that, because it's usually a place where I need to grow. I don't like it, but it's happened enough times, it's the way that it is. And I have to look at myself before I look at the person that I think is making me uncomfortable. Because usually it's something in here. So are we outwardly focused enough? Do we have a vision as a church to be a church of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission? Do we remember what the great commandment is? Anybody?
You love the Lord your God.
Yeah.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind,
and what?
Your neighbor
as yourself, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the Great Commission. Yes! You got it! Yeah! Great commandment, Great Commission. That's awesome. You've got it in your hearts, you've got it in your minds. Let's increase the ways that we do it. In the scripture lessons today, we have a master class on how to do this. It's laid out in the epistle and in the gospel today. It's beautiful. Jesus and Paul are here with us today through these accounts in scripture to help us learn how to do these things. If you want to look back at the epistle lesson with me, we can take a peek at this. Paul was such a master as led by the Holy Spirit at this. You know, through this, we see that we need to become an expert in the culture that we are called to, right? If you're going to go to Madagascar and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people, you probably need to learn the language, right? You probably need to know some of the social customs of maybe what not to do. You need to be able to be willing to eat weird food, probably. Something that's a little different from what you're used to. You've got to be willing to travel a long ways. You've got to be able to understand how to express the nuance of the gospel that you've learned in English in another language, right? So knowing the ins and outs of what people value and how they experience God. This is what Paul is talking about here. Find ways to connect with the people in your culture and lift up your experience of Jesus in your own life to them. Paul says here, I've made myself a slave to all that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, right? To the fishermen, I became a fisherman. To the hunters, I became a hunter. To the auto mechanics, I became an auto mechanic. I'm dumbing it down a little bit, but you get where I'm coming from on this. Find common ground with people. Find ways to be able to connect with them in their life. I don't watch football, but I'm trying to learn a few things, so if I meet somebody that does, I might be able to know something about somebody and sound slightly intelligent. You know, what culturalisms are there in New England, right? Wicked good. You know, went to Maine last summer. I think I heard yes, sir, in a conversation for the first time. Near as I could tell is when there's nothing else to say and there's that uncomfortable blank spot in a conversation, whoever's standing around goes, yes, sir. Yeah. I don't know, right? How about Vermont? Right, there's that. You refuse to use fake maple syrup? That's a serious one. You want to transgress that way in the culture, right? Maybe you have multiple years of ski passes on your jacket zipper, right? This is a Vermonter thing. You know the value of a real creamy, right? Your out-of-state friends come, well, you got to have a maple creamy. Let's go, you know? Go to that place over in Ludlow on Route 100. That's the real deal over there, all right? And now what about Windsor and West Windsor? Does anybody know where Barnes's Flats are? You talk to an old-timer in town, and you learn that Barnes's Flats are the flats on Route 44 headed out of town going towards Reading on the left-hand side, you know? And this way, too?
No, the
Narrows. The Narrows, yeah. Got it, okay, yeah, yeah. So, you know, Paul gets into the culture, right? If you've lived in West Windsor for a number of years, you probably have your own personal experience with Ralph Johnson. God rest his soul, okay? So, like, these are the cultural things Paul's talking about. You are an expert in your own culture. Like, you are God's missionary plant right here. You know how to figure out somebody's tone. You know how to express something in a way that they might be able to hear it better than if you moved here from someplace else and had no idea of the culture. You're already on the inside, right? So how about Jesus here, right? Last week we read about how he had just blown their minds teaching with authority. Remember this? He was teaching in the synagogue and he spoke as one having authority and they were like, "Whoa, this is not anything like the scribes." You know, because Jesus is the guy that wrote the book, right? So he goes on and he heals Simon's mother-in-law. And then we see a model for ministry that is laid out before us, right? Jesus goes and is with the people, right? All the people, he's there with them in their mess, in the midst of all the stuff that makes life messy, that, you know, maybe we get tired of dealing with, and, you know, people do the same thing, and they cycle back around, and they never step out of their own way, and this sort of thing, and we get fed up with it, but Jesus doesn't care. He goes in the midst of it because he's merciful, and he's loving, and he sees them. At one point, he sees the people and realizes that they're like sheep without a shepherd, and he has pity on them. He goes in, and he's healing them, and he's delivering them from what oppresses them, and he wasn't afraid to go there, to be with them, and to bring the gospel and the healing to them. And while he's doing this, he's got his disciples with him. And they are learning by example. He is teaching them. They are watching. They are learning. The ministry is going to be handed off to them. And he's helping them to learn about how to engage in the work of the kingdom. He's teaching by example. And so Jesus teaches them that they can't just keep with themselves and keep amongst themselves in their little holy huddle, but they need to carry it out and forward. And at the end of the gospel lesson, he says, let us go to the neighboring towns, because they need this too. It's not just kept right there amongst them. So the question is, have you experienced the transformation of the Lord Jesus Christ to such a degree that you are actually compelled to carry it outward to others? Most of the time in the New Testament, when the English word we read is transformation, it's referring to metanoia, which is the word from which we get the caterpillar to the butterfly thing. Completely changes form. When Jesus gets a hold of your life, you don't end up looking much like the old person. And so, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to challenge and expand what you are comfortable with in sharing the gospel? If it's hard for you, write it on your mask. Really, why not? Are you engaged in any discipleship and outreach so that you might be filled up so that you could be poured out? Or are you just bumping along week to week to week to week and keeping your head above water, sort of? Discipleship, deepening your faith, growing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, learning to trust him in your daily life and walk. Outreach, right? Leslie Newbegin says, mission is not just something that the church does. It is something that is done by the Spirit, who himself is the witness, who changes both the world and the church, who always goes before the church in its missionary journey. And in this way, he continues, mission is not self-propagation, but it is rather the work of the free, sovereign, living power of the Spirit of God. It's not all on you. It's the Holy Spirit working and moving through you. So sharing the faith doesn't have to be a scary and challenging thing. It's sharing your personal experience of Jesus. Have you had one? How has the Lord transformed your life? It doesn't need to be a half an hour. You could say in one way how you have experienced the transformation of Christ in your life. That's not too scary, right? Start there. You don't need to go to Madagascar to be a witness. Bloom where you're planted, right where you are. Who are the people in your job that you see every day? Who are the people that you bump into when you're taking a walk on the road? I don't know. These are the people that the Lord has placed in your life. You are a cultural expert, as we said before, on a mission in Reading, West Windsor, wherever you are, in Chester. You know the ins and outs over there, you know? Yeah. You are a cultural expert on missions. Some of you that are listening online, you probably know how to minister in Bermuda a lot better than I do, although I would love to come and learn. So, where are you and who is in your life? These are the people that God has called you to. It's a long game that we're engaged in, right? It doesn't happen overnight. It's a long witness in a consistent direction with people. So trust the Holy Spirit. He will lead you and guide you. He is trustworthy. A couple of weeks ago, I shared a quote with you. It says, "We are called to be a community of people in the midst of all pain and sorrow and brokenness in the world, continually praising God and living by another story than the world lives by." That is my prayer personally. That is my prayer for us as a church, that we would live by another story than the world lives by. After communion today, again, I just want to mention, if you need prayer for healing, for deliverance, for anything, if you need prayer about, I don't know, are you staying up at night with anxiety? Whatever the case may be, if you want prayer, please receive prayer. Please come, don't let it pass by. If something's happening in your life and you want to lay it before the Lord, people will be able to pray with you. It doesn't matter that there's only a few of us here today, because the Lord is here too. So, amen.